No part of this program may be used for training artificial intelligence technology. From KDNK Community Access Radio in Carbondale, Colorado, in the United States, this is program number 75 of the Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. When blind people go places, we don't experience things like our sighted friends. We don't see beautiful mountains or romantic sunsets. The goal of this program is to identify and even create experiences that are more meaningful or just more fun for us and our sighted traveling companions. Frequently, as people lose their eyesight, they become more and more isolated. The Tactile Traveler hopes to empower people not only to go literally around the world, but around the block to new adventures in their lives. Blind ranges from people who are visually impaired, and glasses and contact lenses no longer help them to lead a normal life, to people like me, who are totally blind, to sighted parents who have a blind child, blind parents who have sighted children, and blind parents with blind children, and people of all ages, interests, and physical abilities. On today's program, the advantages of Amtrak for people who are blind or have low vision, and the California Zephyr. If you're looking for a more relaxing way to travel on moderate or long-distance trips, you might want to try Amtrak, especially if you're blind or have low vision.
This was my first time riding Amtrak and riding a train out of state. I've previously done commuter rail and light rail, but that was the extent of my train travels. So I didn't really know what to expect going into it. The only negative experience that I had with Amtrak was their mobile app. I found it just needed some work. I kept having to restart it because VoiceOver would get to a point where I couldn't navigate. But after that, the experience was definitely outstanding.
That's Evan Starnes, lead audio technician for Aftersight, Colorado's audio information network, and volunteer post-production audio engineer for the Tactile Traveler. Evan and his girlfriend at the time recently rode Amtrak from Denver, Colorado to Chicago, Illinois. Well, tell Amtrak that Evan had some problems with their website. But there's an easy way to make reservations which requires no computer skills. Their 800 number, 1-800-USA-RAIL, which is 1-800-872-7245. That's 800-872-7245. And you'll get Julie, their automated ticket agent. That free 800 number is good from many countries around the world, but you may have to dial plus sign 1-800-USA-RAIL.
I'm Julie, Amtrak's automated agent, to check if a particular train is running on time. Say train status. Or to get schedule and price information, say schedules. For new or existing reservations, say reservations. You can also say it's something else.
Para continuar en español, oprima el 6.
Evan went to Chicago on the California Zephyr, Amtrak's longest route. 2,438 miles. That's 3,928.58 kilometers from the San Francisco, California suburb of Emeryville to Chicago. I live 160 miles west of Denver, 257.45 kilometers, where all the eye specialists are. I've been blind in my right eye since birth. But in the process of trying to save my left eye, I had to go to Denver at least once a week on the California Zephyr for 3 years. People don't usually commute on the Zephyr. So for about 3 years, I was the most frequent Amtrak traveler in Colorado. I've used Julie a lot. One of Julie's features is giving you your train status. That's handy for letting you know when your train will arrive and depart. If you're on the train and it's running late, you can call Julie and she'll give you your update arrival time. I suggest using Amtrak's 800 number over their webpage if you're low vision or totally blind or have another disability, because you'll eventually be connected with a live ticket agent who'll be able to tell you about discounts for folks with disabilities and someone like a sighted traveling companion and senior citizens. I live about two blocks from the Amtrak station here in Glenwood Springs, Colorado, so the ticket agents know me really well. In spite of that, they're really nice to me. The day before I was going on a trip, I pulled my carry-on suitcase to the station where they'd store it for free until my trip. I mentioned to the ticket agent that I recently had surgery and wasn't supposed to lift more than 10 pounds and still had my big suitcase at home. They had a people mover that looks like a long golf cart. He said, "Get in the cart." Then he drove me the two blocks to my house and then brought me and my suitcase back to the station. They've driven me home several times since. You're listening to The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. Now, back to our story on Amtrak and the California Zephyr. All seats and compartments on Amtrak trains have three prices for the same seat, depending upon when you buy your ticket. They frequently didn't have the cheapest or cheaper seats still available when I had to buy my ticket. So if someone canceled and a cheaper seat became available, the ticket agents call me and switch my tickets to a cheaper seat or sleeper compartment. Ticket agents in bigger cities don't have time to do this, but you can call Amtrak occasionally and check to see if a cheaper seat is available and change it. Evan said they went from Denver to Chicago coach, which he found to be his second choice.
When I was on the train, there was Braille everywhere. All of the doors had labels next to them as to what they were. Above the seats where you would put your baggage, there were Braille numbers for each seat. So I think we were seat 25. The buttons above you, like on the ceiling, had labels for call. And then there were some buttons to turn on reading lights. And there were also Braille labels in the bathroom for the flush toilet button and the call and attendant button.
Different people have different tastes. I always go coach when I'm traveling alone. In 2016, I took Amtrak round trip to Schenectady, New York, the week before the presidential election, and went through Ohio twice, which is an election swing state. So I was hoping to meet some swingers. I didn't, but I did meet some very nice Amish people, including a visually impaired woman who also used the white cane. the California Zephyr uses superliner train cars. They are two-story cars that are too high to fit in tunnels in the east. The lower level has the doors and stairs to get on the train. It also has the stairs to go to the second level seating, restrooms, luggage racks, handicapped seating, and something called a lounge. I don't check my luggage anymore. I always use the luggage racks for two reasons. First, I checked my luggage like you check your luggage on a plane on a trip to a convention in Los Angeles. We arrived in Los Angeles at midnight, and luggage claim was closed. So I had to spend half a day going back to the train station during the daytime to retrieve my luggage. So I always carry on all my luggage onto the train and put it in the luggage racks on the train, which has two advantages. First, it's always with me. Second, on overnight trips, I can get to my luggage and get to my clothes and shaving kit and medicine. Also downstairs on superliner cars are restrooms. Most of them are similar to restrooms on airplanes, but they don't have curved ceilings. So it's easy to stand up comfortably. Even better, as you go towards the back of the train car, one of those doors on the left will be a combination restroom and dressing room. It'll have a regular restroom plus a bench the width of the restroom. I put my suitcase on it so I can dig out my shaving kit with my toothbrush and toothpaste every day and clean clothes. So I'm only moderately disgusting on a long trip when I reach my destination. At the end of the hallway is something called a lounge. It has a mirror and a long table, almost the width of the train. It's the best place on the train for things like putting on makeup. It's also the best place on the train for inserting contact lenses. We had a sleeper compartment that had a small table. At the time, I still had some vision in my left eye, and I was wearing a scleral contact lens. It was so big, it only rested on the sclera, the white part of my eye. It cost $1,000 and was a little tricky to insert. So even though we were in a sleeper car, I went to a coach car to use the lounge, which had a better table with more room. The lower level also has a handicapped seating compartment, which has seats like on the second level, space for wheelchairs, and its own luggage storage area. There also is a large handicap restroom nearby. The disadvantage of downstairs seating is that the view isn't as expansive as the second level. If you have problems climbing stairs or just don't want to, Amtrak employees will get your meals from the dining car for you. On one trip to Denver, I was the only person in the handicap section. It was lonely. Finally, there are long level railings by the doors where you enter the train that are a great place for doing stretching exercises on long trips. The second level on the coach cars is all seating. Unlike planes or buses, they're big, wide, comfortable seats with backs that really recline and leg rests that pull up from the front of the seat. Each has a pull-down tray in front of it and a storage area like on a plane. And on the window side are two 110-volt AC wall plugs, like home wall sockets. Above the seats are storage racks. There's also a place to stick your boarding pass. That pass tells the conductor where you get off the train. If you have friends in a different coach car and are visiting them, make sure you're back at your seat when you get close to your stop. Otherwise, you might miss your stop if you're asleep, the conductor will wake you up before your stop. Do not move to a friend's car without talking to the conductor first. They don't open the doors on every car at every stop, so you could miss your stop. There's no smoking on any Amtrak trains. If you get caught smoking, you'll be thrown off the train at the next stop. And if you give the conductor a hard time, you'll meet a police officer at the next railroad crossing. You're listening to The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. Now, back to our story on Amtrak and the California Zephyr. They do have smoke stops at some train stations. Anyone can get off the train and get some fresh air, even if you aren't a smoker. If you have a guide dog or service dog with you, smoke stops are good places to have your dog relieve itself. As you get off the train, there'll be either a conductor or car attendant by the door. Make sure they know what you're doing. Since you don't see or see well, they'll guide you to a good spot and stay with you until your dog's finished. They'll even hold the train until your dog is done. All the action is on the second level.
We got to experience the dining car, the observation deck, and the snack bar.
Either the conductor or other passengers will tell you if the dining and observation car are either in front of your seat or behind it. Since I can't read Braille, I leave something like a sleeve from my coat or a strap from my backpack hanging down a foot or so from the overhead luggage rack so I can find my seat when I return to it. But in the daytime, it's hardly an issue. Other passengers will always say, "Your seat is one seat back or two seats forward," even though the cars on the Zephyr are more than 40 years old. They look very modern. Even if you have only moderate vision, the first time you step into the observation car, you'll have a pleasant sensation you didn't expect. It's light and bright and a spectacular sight with massive windows that go up the sides of the car, then curve to the middle of the ceiling for the entire length of the car. When you first enter the observation car, there'll be four-person booths, similar to those in restaurants. Then there'll be seats facing those windows and scenery from beautiful mountains to dirty train yards in big cities. And people not only look out those windows, they talk to each other while they look. Unlike other means of transportation, people talk to strangers and even become friends. A unique characteristic of Amtrak. During the summer, there may also be a volunteer historian or a conductor talking about the areas the train is passing through from Grand Junction, Colorado to Denver. Downstairs on the lower level of the observation car is the snack bar. There you can buy hot dogs, hamburgers, sandwiches, including breakfast sandwiches, and drinks, including beer and wine. The next car is the dining car. If you have a sleeper instead of going coach, dining car meals are included. But coach passengers can buy meals in the dining car, but it's gotten expensive. The last time I ate in the dining car, I bought breakfast. It was $30, which is why it was the last time I ate in the dining car. One of the advantages of Amtrak is you can bring your meals with you. I usually bring some sandwiches for dinner and pastries and a drink for breakfast, and my meals are taken care of. on a trip like from Glenwood Springs to Chicago. If you'd like to travel uptown, you can get a sleeper. Most people get a sleeping compartment, which has two seats and a table that convert to bunk beds at night. There are bathrooms and a shower down the hall. There are also several family rooms, which may include a bathroom with a shower.
And on the way back, we got a sleeper's car. My girlfriend surprised me with a sleeper car, and it was a nice private family room. And that experience, there was some good and bad. The good stuff first, we got an attendant, and he was able to help us get ice, get snacks, get food from the dining car, pretty much anything that we wanted, he was able to provide. And he was super nice. And the beds were very, very comfortable. The train, it was very quiet. And we also had control over the temperature of the room. Plenty of space to put out like a laptop or have some drinks and or dine. We decided to dine in the car. When you're in the sleeper's car, they only give you one electrical outlet. So if you, and this was a family room. So if you're a family, you know, you've got a couple kids, and especially if they're older and they have their devices, you all are going to be fighting over the electrical outlet all night. And that's definitely a bit of a downside.
I carry a plug strip with me, which solves the plug problems. The Zephyr also has a handicap sleeping compartment, which is wheelchair accessible and has its own bathroom. On other long-distance Amtrak trains, they will offer similar services. The entire California Zephyr schedule is timed so you go through the spectacular Glenwood Canyon in the early afternoon. The 18-mile-long canyon rises 2,500 feet, 762 meters, above the Colorado River. So move to the left side of your seat or the observation car immediately after getting on the train in Glenwood Springs, or sit on the right side of the train when going westbound towards Glenwood Springs. Denver to Glenwood Springs is the most popular section of the Zephyr because of the scenery. Passing through the section of the Colorado River just northeast of the Glenwood Canyon, during the summer, if you can see, you'll experience some unusual scenery. On a typical day, about 14 different groups of people moon the train from kayaks, white river rafts, and campsites. A conductor told me they even call that part of the Colorado Moon River. On that section of the trip, you need to be sitting on the right side of the train, eastbound, or the left side, westbound, to experience all of the scenery. I did have one serious problem when I had to change trains in Chicago. Most busy Amtrak stations have a senior citizen and disabilities waiting area where someone will guide you or drive you to your train on a people mover. I asked someone to guide me to the disabilities waiting room when I got off the Zephyr. He guided me somewhere that was very quiet. Finally, I heard someone and asked for help. I was in the right room, but it was very long, and I was in the wrong end of it. He took me to the right place where I was guided to the train. The disadvantage of the Zephyr is that it frequently is late. I compensate for that by scheduling my trip to arrive a day early on long trips. You're listening to The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low-vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. I'm Nick Eisenberg. Why, it's my talking scale, reminding us that we'd like you to weigh in on how we're doing. Please let us know by sending an email to the tactile traveler at gmail.com. We spell traveler the American way with one L. We'd also like to hear your story ideas from all over the world. Please send us an email with story ideas in the subject line to thetactiletraveler@gmail.com. Transcripts of this program are available for our deaf listeners by searching The Tactile Traveler in any search engine and by asking your smart speaker to play the podcast, The Tactile Traveler. This program is also being broadcast on AfterSight, formerly the Audio Information Network of Colorado, and on Audio Information Networks in Massachusetts and in additional states. We'd like to thank the following people and organizations who help make today's program possible. Be My Eyes, Microsoft Accessibility Tech Support, Apple Accessibility Tech Support, Lorraine Hutchinson, Debbie O'Leary, Sarah Williams, Sophia Williams, Isaac Williams, Kelly Baker, Kaylee Romero, Evan Starnes, and Wally Burley. This has been The Tactile Traveler, empowering blind and low vision people to explore the world and helping our sighted friends see the world in a new way. This is a production of KDNK Community Access Radio, Carbondale, Colorado.